Good morning. Today's reading is taken from John 12, verses 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. And others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Really important reading this morning, an important message for us as we journey through Lent. And like lots of readings, lots that could be said, but I'm going to focus on three main things today. One is, who was wanting to see Jesus and what does that tell us? What's the reason for that? And then the parable, what does that mean? And what's the reason behind that? And then to round up, what does our lives here and now, how do our lives fit into what we've heard today? So chapter 12 in John, it's very much the conclusion of Jesus's public ministry. It's like a farewell here in the reading to the world, and then leading on further on in the chapter to an extended farewell to his closest followers. But here in the reading, who wanted to see Jesus? Well, it was the Greeks, the Gentiles. And the reason for this in the passage, what it's telling us, is that Jesus is for everyone. Generally, up to then, much of Jesus' ministry has been to the Jewish communities. But here, the Greeks and the Gentiles are seeking him. And that's pointing to Jesus' mission for everyone. It's universal. And we see Philip and Andrew go let Jesus know the Greeks want to see him. We talked a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, about Jesus as a teacher to his disciples. And here teaching is happening. The disciples are seeing and learning that Jesus is ready and willing and keen to talk and share with everyone. Jesus does make it very clear. The hour has now come. So the first thing of great importance in the reading, the Gentiles are seeking to know more. And Jesus is ready, ready to meet them. The disciples are there to help this meeting and see and learn the importance of it and see the fruit of this. We see the fruit, don't we? The commitment of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection in the ministry and teaching and support to all those early Christian communities, to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, continuing also with the Jewish people, to everyone. Encouraging in the Lent group that we're running at the moment, this week's been about encouraging. And we've been looking at Acts chapter 11. And we've heard how a great, great many people were taught about Jesus. the Gentiles. And we hear also that the disciples in Antioch, it was the very first time they were called Christians. So look what's happened from listening to that passage, from Philip and Andrew hearing the Greeks want to see Jesus. Let's take them. Let's tell Jesus. And then what happened from that? And here we are today because of that wonderful thing. But as we hear Jesus saying, the hour has come. And that takes us on really to the second point today, looking at that parable. I had a look, I looked up the word parable. There's lots of meanings, but the two that I've sort of caught on to just to share today are that a parable can be a riddle or a conundrum. I love the word conundrum. It's just a nice word to say, isn't it? That means it's not straightforward. Well, it is straightforward, and probably in that farming community at that time, because everyone was working on the land where most people were, a grain of wheat, it would have made sense. Let's listen to that bit again. A grain of wheat, unless the grain falls into the earth and dies, it stays as a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So, in farming terms, makes great sense. A tiny seed, we know, don't we? We've heard, it's in the Bible. A tiny seed grows into a massive tree, a mustard seed. An apple pip grows into an apple tree. I planted some seeds. I got them at Christmas. Put them in a little duck. I meant to bring it up. I'll pop it on Facebook so you can see my little duck. And what I was told to do with this little duck was to put the seeds in and then put it in the fridge. It sat in the back of the fridge with the HP sauce and all the rest of the things are in the back of your fridge. For it has to stay there for 10 weeks in the cold. And I'm told in a little leaflet, if you don't put it in the fridge for 10 weeks, it will grow, but there'll be no flowers on it. It'll just grow leaves. So 29th of March, it's allowed out of the fridge. So it does make sense, doesn't it, this concept that seeds need to be those little shriveled things that have the right conditions and then they flourish. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? And we know because we've read the Bible. As Christians, we know the Easter story. We know Holy Week. We know Good Friday and the crucifixion. And we know Easter Sunday and the good news. But those disciples, those people there, they didn't know that. They didn't know. I wonder what they made of it. They were farmers. They probably made that first idea about the seeds. But Jesus says a little bit more to help us understand. And we've got to remember, he's in the midst of the Greeks, the Gentiles. Whoever serves me must follow me. And whoever serves me, my Father will honour. Those who love life will lose it. Gosh, can you imagine what they might be thinking, having heard all of that? What can that mean? Quite a lot of passages, a lot of parables are about sowers, sowing seeds. And I'm drawn to the parable in Mark chapter 4, the seed parable, where the sower makes it very clear that the conditions need to be very right for the seeds to flourish. And I'm drawn to the seeds that start to grow, but they struggle because the weeds choke them. They're overtaken by the thorns. The conditions were right, the soil, the water, the warmth, but they can't keep growing. Other things take over. And that relates to those who love life but lose it. If we look at Mark chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, it's explained to us. Those who hear the word, they're the seeds, they're growing. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. Those who love life will lose it. The cares, the lures of the world, they take over, and we don't yield the fruit. We stop serving and following. And remember, Jesus was saying that to the whole of humanity. Two important messages then. Who was Jesus talking to? Who wanted to see him? The Greeks. And that tells us that the message is for all. He's calling all. But it signifies the hour, the farewell. But the disciples have seen and learnt, and we're here today, and we've seen and we've learnt, and we're a flourishing, wonderful community here at St. Andrew's, serving and loving. So it's continuing, and it needs to continue more. And that's where we come in, isn't it? And then the grain. To flourish, the grain requires the correct conditions to start to grow, to yield fruit. And we're all called to serve and follow, and not to get caught up in those earthly temptations, not to get caught up in earthly matters, but to fix our eyes on Jesus and to maintain faith and to maintain trust, even in the tough times, even when we're drawn to trust beyond the earthly matters. And there's lots of earthly matters at the moment, aren't there? But God's close, and we trust, and we serve, and we love. And the grain also tells us, doesn't it, about the Easter story, the journey to Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the crucifixion. And he explains his death. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. We know the story of Easter Day, that empty tomb, the resurrection. And we'll come to that. And then the third point. Where do our lives, here and now, fit into what we've heard in the reading today? Well, we're all that very, very small seed. We're all people of a small seed. And we're all called to serve and to follow, and not to get caught up by the cares of the world, the lures of wealth and desire, all those earthly matters. We're called to say yes, to follow Jesus, to study his teaching, to day by day grow in faith, day by day love and serve and care and shine light, the light of Jesus into the world. Shining in the smiles and the celebrations, and shining light into the tears and the sadness and the difficulties too. Sharing the goodness to all we meet. Which takes me back to the Lent course. It's been looking at rhythms of life. And this week, as I said earlier, we've been looking at the importance of encouraging. Encouraging others by our actions, by sharing the word of God. And one of the focuses we've had, one of the Bible readings we've had, is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. How will I build up those around me so we spur one another on to love and good deeds? And we talked together about the acts of encouraging that we're all involved in, even in lockdown. All those acts of encouraging in St. Andrew's, we made a great big long list. Lots of phone calls to Plus Group, lots of phone calls to the Tuesday Fellowship Group, lots of craft packs been taken out for Christmas, for Easter, for Mother's Day. Lots of chatting on coffee chats. Services been sent out through the post to people who can't link up with us. Lots and lots of fellowship and learning and sharing and building ourselves as disciples within our house groups. Lots of knocks on doors at a safe distance to say hello. People going on waving walks, saying hello through windows, keeping in touch. Prayer meetings. Lent Bible studies on Facebook and reflections. Prayers on Facebook. Photographs, encouraging photographs, beautiful encouraging photographs on Facebook. There's more than the main ones that we wrote down. Lots of encouraging. So when we think about how do we build one another up, how do we continue to flourish, to sow fruit, to bear fruit, spurring one another on to love with good deeds in our actions, in our fellowship, in our learning, in faith, and in trusting. In trusting God in the tough times, in the times when the world draws us, when we need to keep close to God and help those around us to do the same. So, as we journey further towards the miracle of new life this Easter, this springtime, I pray that together we will love and serve our Lord. Amen.